Hello and welcome everyone to Awakenings. This is your host and friendly co-pilot, Michelle Mache. And that was, I needed that so much. That was Breathe by Urban Myth Club. Hi everyone in the chat. Great to see everyone and connect in. And those that are listening via Cosmic D, iTunes, and archives. That was so strange. My computer actually froze on me. First, Skype wasn't coming on, so I had the wrong password, even though it's, you know, done to auto-generate. And anyway, so that's been the story. Anybody else having these kind of things? If you're shifting, if you are on another quantum leap, you will be experiencing a lot of this, especially with personal items, computers, a lot of stuff with electrical stuff, but even jewelry, specifically gold, metals. I don't know yet about with stones, but I've seen it with metals as well. Anyway, welcome if you're new to Awakenings. I see we have quite a few guests. Hello, and thanks for, I know the regulars are here with me saying, she'll be on in a minute, don't worry. But those of you that are new, thanks for sticking around. That's great. If you are listening as a guest, that's totally great. If you would like to have more interaction in the chat room, all you need to do is scroll down to the bottom of the page and register. You actually need to register to interact in the chat room. I mean, you can just listen via chat or computer. And if you'd like to call in to listen, the number is 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. I am doing readings, which I so love to do. So if you have questions, want to know what's going on the path. We are in the age of the soul, and I want to touch a little bit on the psychic phenomenon that's going on and what this age of the soul is. I feel like all the work that I've been doing is prepared for this time, all the studying and training. So I'm really excited because the soul excites me. Living from the infinite or the absolute or the all that is that we are excites me as well. However, the soul is our individuated aspect of the all that is. And we came here on this dimension. We came in this vibrational frequency to basically create, to play, to learn. Learning is not top on the list, but we do, as a species, we do evolve, we shift, we learn, and we begin to know what matters to us, what makes sense to us, what makes us kind of tick. And then when I say us, I mean the individuated aspect of us that is the all of the all that is, or God. God is us, or God expressing as us. So we're really having to karate chop or myth bust with tenderness some of the old beliefs, belief systems, some old of the old paradigms that were put in place by, some people know them as the Illuminati, which is an extension of us because there is only one. Illuminati or the illumined ones, it's people that have taken their information and used it to enslave or ensnare. So we all know, we all know when somebody, you know, isn't quite getting something or is vulnerable. And maybe if we have more insight or more information, or maybe we're older, I'm just trying to make it into human level, and we keep that information or we mislead, that's the misuse of power. And you're seeing, especially astrologically, and I know we have some astrologers in the chat room, so if you want to call in, more than welcome to, or put your information in on the chat as well. You're going to see, especially with the aspect of the of Pluto in Capricorn and this Uranus in Aries, you are going to see people waking up. Part of the waking up is what I call myth-busting. Looking at the myths. And some of the myths, really, if you look at them from a common sense point of view, you will see that certain things don't make sense. And yet people, you know, believed it. And there could be these amazing stories, you know, that I had to come to this dimension or this lifetime as punishment, or I did this in the last lifetime, so I have less. And these are all ways to ensnare or allow people to just stay within their limitation. But the soul is not limited, see. The soul, well, okay, let me take that back. We do have a limitation, is that whatever we're meant, this is why soul alignment is so important and clearing work, so that you find out what is your, what's your real deal, what is your soul's path, your soul's purpose, what is your soul design. Our only limitation is within the form and frequency that we come in, the design we come in. So, you know, here, and that can even be shifted to a degree. So our limitation is, in other words, if I'm a tree and I'm an orange, I'm not going to become an apple. Now, I could be an apple and maybe blend with a pear and become, what is that, that apple-pear combination. You can become a combination, but our original design, the way that we've incarnated, and it's only an aspect of us that's living out this existence on this dimension, the way we come in is telling to the experiences that we're meant to have and what we're meant to focus on. This is why we're in the age of the soul. It is so important to find out what is your soul's path. What is your, and I'm going to put it in Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. I talk a lot about this on my blog. Why is it so important? Because we're moving out of the frequency of overly separating out our separation. We're moving into the unification consciousness or awareness. So the way that we can really celebrate our individuality, the individuated aspects of God or the all that is to by knowing our soul, not by knowing the ego, because that was created by external influences or people that shaped us. But our true personality, what are our true gifts, our true talents, our true likes, even if it doesn't make sense to people on the outside, and even if it doesn't make sense to you on an ego level, the more that you can begin to live by your personal inclinations, your personal, what to align to these higher frequencies, and live more fulfilled. So I've been looking at this, the missing step, which is the law of resonance, and actually going to do a workshop. I just have an email question coming in, so I will get to that in a minute. You don't attract what you don't, what's not in resonance to you. So a lot of people are trying to integrate this law of attraction or use the law of attraction, and they're either attracting at an ego level and it's not very fulfilling, or they get something and then, you know, they want something else because it's not quite it. It's kind of like having a craving and then you don't, you know, you can't satisfy it. If you're coming from the soul, you're always fulfilled. You're always filled up. Divine Mystic is putting in being comfortable with those personal inclinations and being unique. Yes. Well, see, we've been taught not to be comfortable. Many of us, and especially in the society, we've been taught to try to fit in a certain mold or template that isn't us. And so we've become comfortable with being uncomfortable. So people repressed us, and then we began to suppress what we seem to think people didn't like, or the society, or the media, or these television shows, or advertisements, or certain family members, or certain churches, or certain groups. So what you're going to see is the more that you can align to what really brings you a sense of fulfillment and joy, the more that you can connect with that and live from that, then you're going to have more fulfillment. The less that you do that, the less fulfillment that you're going to have. And for some people, if it's part of your destiny to be a part of the light workers and have, you know, these quantum shifts, things will be taken away from you, jobs, money, people, things, so that you have to, you're forced to focus within to find out this inner directive or inner connection to your soul, to live from the soul design. So, you know, in a way, you've got to do it. Come the peaks or the valleys, you've got to focus on that. And then Light is saying, thank you so much, Michelle, for recommending the Meditation for Pain in your book, Meditation for Everyday Living. I have felt nausea for almost 3 months, and I put it in a triangle and sent it away, and it worked. Ah, yay. And I also found the cause. Thank you. Yay. Oh, wow. You are so welcome, Light. That is great. That those meditation processes really do work. I use them myself. That is wonderful. Yeah, and we are going to, let's see, Divine Mystic, light workers can get so caught up in others and forget their work and path. Very true, very true. And I want to touch on that a little bit. And again, for readings, the number or questions or comments, the number is 347, let me put that in, 539-5122. Because this energy has, this expansive energy moves so quickly, and again, we're just acclimating. We're getting our inner and outer, if you will, software. If you have a question, I see callers, press 1 on the keypad and then I'll pick up. Otherwise, I'll just think that you're listening, because we have some people listening by phone. But if you do want to hear, be heard, press 1 on the keypad and then I will pick up the phone. Otherwise, I just think you're listening by phone. Because this energy is so expansive and moves so quickly, our mental, emotional, and physical bodies are having to get used to the acclimation process. We're actually being, in a sense, rewired to handle these higher vibrational frequencies. So you are going to see kind of little glitches, mishaps, not only with outer computers, electrical things, or like I said, jewelry, specifically metals, even with people, because you're going to feel like, oh, am I changing, or this old me or old way of being isn't quite working, but the new isn't quite here yet. Foods, I've seen it with people with foods, not knowing what to eat, or you know, certain things that you used to really like, not liking anymore, or being drawn. I'm finding a lot of people drawn to drinking a lot of water and a lot of greens, especially green juices. Or sugar, and if you're having a lot of sugar, that could mean that the protein is disrupted and you're needing more protein source. Because this energy does burn up a lot of mental units, if you will. It takes a lot of energy to vibrate on this frequency. And so you have to manage this kind of energy. You have to see, am I giving too much on an outer, like Divine Mystic said, focusing on other people? Am I overdoing it that way, and how can I bring it back to me? And even things like meditation, all these things take, you know, energy. So if you are doing these kinds of things, you're still benefiting. Vina Blue, I've been severely nauseous, can't eat anything. I thought it was my thyroid. That's one thing, and the homeopathic Nux Vomica is amazing for that, like 30C or 30X. Because Admeta works on the mental and emotional bodies. But nausea is one of them. And it can, you know, what's interesting, the thyroid is no longer going to be the regulator. So the thyroid, I had a thyroid issue. It's just getting back in balance, actually. It's been a long kind of 2 steps forward, 2 steps back, 3 steps back. And I feel like I'm finally, it's finally getting kind of back restructured. But you're going to see more the pineal gland, is going to be and the higher mind, if you will, is going to be the regulator. Let's see, homeopathic is what I put in the chat. So, you know why this is because as we're extending out, connecting more to the light body, that which rules is in control of, if you will, of our physical body and our physiology is actually changing, okay? So we actually, through this shift, are accessing the higher parts of the brain that we normally don't access in everyday living that are accessed in things like meditation, all forms of the meditative state, whether it's through Qigong or, Dhyana or Vipassana, anything that's focusing on more of witnessing and moving into that consciousness state. Because of that, you are going to see a shift in, and there's also some things about with the thyroid, with water, we can go into that too, but fertile the soil and this and that. But you are going to see the regulators of our body, because the body hormones correspond to the emotional body. And as we're clearing the emotional astral body more and the astral plane more through emotional clearing, that which is denser, more in the denser physicality, begins to shift. So you are going to see hormonal and organ shifting, just like they know now that the heart, right, is an actual brain. It actually computates information before our actual brain in our head. It actually, information is processed. You can go to heartmath.com for information on this, but information is actually processed from the heart, and this is very new that this awareness has come in, from the heart to the brain and then back to the heart. So we have a whole what we call etheric and esoteric physiology that will be coming more and more into play. Okay, we have a listener, 949-394. You're on Awakenings.
Oh, yes. Hi. Are you doing a channeled message?
Yes. Did you have a question or comment?
I would like to see what message you feel you have for me regarding my career.
Okay, and what's your first name?
My name is Audrey.
Audrey. Okay. And are you, I feel like you're looking for career direction. Is that true?
Well, I already know what I'm going to do. It's just a matter of...
But you're not doing it.
I'm in a waiting...
Are you wanting to know...
I am doing it. It's just, it's a little bit delayed. There's a couple projects that I'm waiting to hear back a green light on.
Ask a more specific question, because I feel like there's one more piece with your career that you're meant to do or focus on.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Then...
Yeah. It's almost like it's not yet in form. And I do hear sometimes you're wondering, is this the right direction, or if you're doing it right. I'm getting a lot of questioning, personal questioning.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know I'm an artist, so I don't, I'm just wondering where I'm going to be doing this, in Florida or New York. I have a couple different projects coming in, and how about this? I'm going to make it simple. How much longer you see me living in Los Angeles, California?
Okay, that's a good, well, yeah, because, okay, well, see, career direction, that's locale, that's also direction. Where am I going to be doing, are you near Orange County?
I just moved here from there, yeah, I moved here for my career as an artist.
Okay,
in media and
okay.
Television.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved to L.A. about 6 months ago.
Okay, that's why I feel, yeah, I feel like you're not really, attuned or aligned, and that's probably why the idea of direction is coming in from the guides and picking up a lot of your frustration. I don't feel this area is right for you. I do feel definitely more East Coast.
Me too.
Yeah, and I would say Florida. What was the other place?
New York. There's two.
Well, I feel you're going to...
Go ahead,
okay,
Dan.
Well... There's two. Say it again.
Yeah, one opportunity I'm waiting to hear some news on is in New York, and they're both TV media related, and then the other one is in Florida. And honestly, my soul doesn't really want to be here anymore. This isn't for me vibrationally.
No,
so you read
no, I know,
that.
And I can feel that. That's why they kept saying directions, and so the direction really was literal, not figurative. Your energy is absolutely not here, and there's a lot of, I actually feel you block connections energetically, because you're just so over it. You know, everybody's got their what attunes them, and you definitely are East Coast. I feel between Florida and New York. I feel like these projects, for some reason, I feel like they're temporary.
They are.
Okay.
They're going to be, they're contractual, like one 6 weeks and the other one. Yeah, they're both maybe six weeks
okay.
each. But that gives me the next level, you know, put me up on the next level.
Yes, yes. And down the road, I do feel there could be, it's funny, I even feel Atlanta, but I'm feeling that whole East Coast and even, you know, Southeast, that Florida, even down, you know, but a lot to do with big cities. Now, there is something that is coming up for you probably within a year, maybe year and a half, that I feel that there's some type of travel. I don't know if it's an installation or you're on location, but you are going to be traveling with something that you do. And I do feel they're telling me it'll be larger cities, and it would be, and it is showing on the East Coast.
Really? So...
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Well, I have a desire to work on the East Coast, but if there's enough work, I could live there too. But sometimes I think I should be like in Wyoming or Colorado, you know, like on a ranch, like very, you know, slow life. Like the city is for work, but I really prefer the slow life because my nervous system is, been upset. I'll be honest with you, I was in the hospital yesterday, or 2 days ago, for some colon diverticulitis issues acting up. So I'm on medication now, and I know that's why maybe I got 10 days on this medication. May I ask you, do you know how long it'll be before I recover? I don't know if you can answer that.
Yeah,
question.
I can, but that was going to be my next thing. It's really about I don't care if you're in Wyoming or whatever, it's your mental state, it's your disposition. You tend to run what we call a lot of nervous energy.
Yeah.
And some people that I see, they can have migraines. Some people it does the stomach things, diverticulitis, the other one?
Both of them. I've been having migraines too.
yeah. Well, that's because you run a lot of nervous energy. It's almost like a little lightning bolt. So I would really say for you, anything with rhythmic moving meditation, anything that gets you out of that hyper mind, because you're thinking a lot, even when you think you're not, you really are thinking a lot. I can even see you kind of like biting the lip or pulling the lip in. Concentrating, like I want to make this happen. So I don't care where you are. I don't even care if you're in a kibbutz or the Himalayas. You're going to have this situation. So, but for you, I feel you can focus on your feelings and go back to the breath. You can do that. That will help you. I've got on my selfenlight.com. This and it's free. You could download the 3-count breath, or on consciousinspiredliving.com. There's also some other grounding meditation and yogic breath. But definitely that's going to help you. I feel you visiting, you might live in an outlying area, but I feel once you kind of get this handled or grooved in, or you learn to work more with your energy patterns, that you're not going to have... You'll know if a little fuzzy feeling is coming on, it could turn into a headache or a migraine, that you'll just know, oops, I need to go do, you know, some yoga or some Pilates, or I need to do some, you know, even rocking. That's very soothing. Doing some breath work and slightly rocking, you know, or swaying back and
forth. Oh, rocking.
Do that naturally.
Rocking, R-O-C-K-I-N-G.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, really?
Soothing, like baby. Oh, yeah. It's a form of meditation. Soothing like babies do. I do it on my Pilates power glide. Soothing, yeah, because that energy has to go somewhere. And you just have a lot of it coming in, and it's, you know, people say nervous energy, but the nervous system is through the Shishamana, which we call that the rainbow bridge, that those chakras. Those they're also called the nadis that go up the spinal column, connect us to the higher energy centers. So when people have that very activated but don't have an outlet for it or know how to channel it, it can cause things like what you're going through with the stomach. And specifically migraines. I've worked with people a lot with migraines doing energy work, healing work, and I always found they're usually extremely creative, a lot of thoughts, and usually faster moving thinking. That's why you're better on the East Coast, too, because you're like going, oh, my God, these people are slow.
I know I feel displaced here. I just wonder how much longer I'm going to have to deal with it here, you know, before I get the green light to be over there, you know, because I'm really feeling like anxiety, and also I'm kind of traumatized by the energy here because it is disturbing, you know, when you're hearing ambulances and seeing accidents and crime constantly. You know what I mean? It's a very erratic place to live.
Yes and no. I will tell you, I have lived in some huge cities, and I've been in, you know, I've got my meditation book. I am totally a mystic, modern mystic, shamanically trained. I've lived in New York. I've lived in Chicago. I've lived in England. I've spent time, you know, in ashram. I've spent time in Hong Kong, China, you know, large cities. Some of my best meditations have been in the middle of a chaotic time.
Really?
You know, when you're walking. Oh, yeah. Because, see, it's all an interstate, and that's what you're here to learn right now, Audrey. Take this time while you're here. Yes, I remember, you know, in New York and Chicago, when you cross the street, there's probably 100, maybe 200 people crossing at the same time. And I would just breathe. I would breathe it in. Because if you are in completely in present time, almost a sort of they're in a meditative state, they don't realize it, or hypnotic, you don't bump into anybody. It's all when you're crossing the street, right? It's all, you know, people are coming at you, you're going at them. But if you're breathing and if you're totally in the present and focused, you naturally move where you need to move and you don't bump into anybody. So one of my teachers that I worked with used to send me out on these, you know, excursions to be in the chaos. I mean, I grew up as a channeler, a psychic, so I am, you know, extremely sensitive. And I know what you mean, though. You do have to take the unplug from it because, you know, I used to have to do that at concerts when I was a kid. I'd have to, you know, come home and just meditate, listen to music, and just not have the influences coming at me. But what you can do, Audrey, instead of blocking them, because remember I said earlier the guide said you were blocking stuff by your interstate? Whatever it is, the chaos that you're not liking or the sounds, what I want you to do is just actually breathe them in and see them moving through you. Don't block them. Just let them move through you. Because what's causing the compacting of energy is that you're trying to block things, block it, right? So that actually yes, do you see? So just breathe through it. Or you can do a meditation and you feel when you say God is...
Because I was taking deep breaths when I saw this last incident that really was upsetting up the road with the people, you know, getting hurt in their accident and the ambulances and all. I was breathing and I was, you know, but it also really upset me. I think I'm an ultra sensitive too, and also it's hard for me right now to be on antibiotics because it's
so
really
what you want to do, and I need to move to the next call, but what you want to do is give yourself that time to nurture, because we're talking about the ego, the physical body, you know, aspect of you. Because the spiritual aspect of us, the soul aspect, knows no separation. So knows that this divine play of consciousness, whether they're sirens or whatever is going on, that it's all part of the oneness. You know, so mind you, I don't live in that space all the time either. So we need to unplug from that and to mentally and emotionally nourish and nurture. So find ways to do that, and at the same time, use the meditations and the breath work, and you can even do your own mantra. God is there too. That is God too, or whatever your belief system is, or that's part of the all that is, or I'm safe, I'm right where I need to be, that's part of the all that is. And let it go, because what eventually will happen by our vibration, we will these situations won't affect us as much, and we won't experience them as much.
How do you think, what do you think of this mantra, God is moving me forward?
Yes, and but I feel that part of your process is, but part of your process before you go to the next level is you have to be comfortable where you are.
Oh, shoot, yeah, okay.
So work on, God is moving you to the next level, but also God is here and I am safe. That's what you need to focus on, that you're safe.
Okay.
All right, Audrey, thank
you
for calling in.
Thank you so much. Bless you, dear.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay. Hi, 704. Are you there?
512. Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I'm guessing if there's no other, if there are no, if you don't have two 704s, I'm the one.
You're the one, yeah. And there's some other callers. I will get to you. I think a Skype caller as well. Yes, what's your first name?
Judy.
Okay, Judy. And what was your question or comment?
Well, I just wanted to know if there's if you can tell me of anything that's in store for me in the future.
As far as what? That's a big. That's there's
well,
a lot of things. In the
well, career, family, kids. You know.
Okay, career, family, kids. Meaning.
Well, where's my career going to take me? You know, will I have any kids and when? How big a family can I have? Will I have?
Yeah. Now, why? I'm not feeling you in relationship right now, right?
No, I am. I'm married.
You are? You're married? Mm-hmm. What's happening?
Yes.
Okay. And you're not, were you thinking of separating?
No, we've had our problems, but we're trying to work through those problems.
Trying to work
yeah.
through them now. Okay. Because I do feel you're not, part of the thing with the children is, I feel that there's issues there within the family, within the relationship that first need to be worked through and handled. So.
Okay.
Yeah. There.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. We got a little bit of a delay. Go ahead with your question.
But I just wanted to ask you if I'm in the right relationship, you know, right now.
Well, no.
Okay.
That's where you're having the issues or the problems.
Okay.
I just don't feel he gets you or understands you. That's why I felt, you know, I almost hesitated to say it because I felt like.
Mm-hmm. No, you can be honest with me. Yeah.
Yeah, well, because that's why I said, are you thinking of separating? Because
okay.
the two of you are not, I feel like it might be, you're staying together either for family or society or obligation. Mm-hmm. It's something of that nature. But I do feel you have a crossroads coming up at the latest 2 years, and maybe even sooner than that, where you're going to have to make a decision. How fulfilled do I want to be? I also feel whether it's for pay or volunteer, working with kids would be great for you. Working with children,
okay,
and even on a creative essence. But really, what's on your plate right now is going to be: do you stay with this individual? Because you both, I just feel like him even cut off. It's like a stone. And something inside you is dying. Your heart is hurting a lot because mm-hmm. you're not really seen for who you are and you can't really open up and be who you are. So that's going to be your awakening before children or anything else. It's really
okay.
going to be about that. And that's the next critical turning point that you have.
Okay. What about my career?
What about it?
What do I have in store? You know, where my career is concerned.
Your main thing is how can you live really being you? and stepping out. I don't know if it's the relationship holding you back or you hold your back because yourself back because of the relationship, but I feel like this, you have to handle that before you really flower, you really take off.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All righty.
All right.
Blessings.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Okay, so here's a Skype call. I have no idea who they are. Okay, well, there was a Skype call coming in, and it made an odd noise. Everybody heard it. And so if you were, you're indicating you had a question, but couldn't reach you. So if you, I don't know what it was. What is it? Okay, let's see. All right. Yeah, a lot of people, you're going to have to be making some tough little choices about your life if you want to go to that next level. That's why I said at the top of the program, the age of the soul is about myth busting. And believe me, I've been there. The thing is, if you're really on your soul path, it's like this, it's a little bit of a magical mystery tour, because some things you're going to be directed to, you're not going to know, and I'm talking about the you that's the ego personality, it's new to you. You're not going to know, hey, I like this, or I want to do this, or I didn't know I had this gift. You know, so some of the things is kind of like finding out about this part of yourself. And so the myth busting is about busting the myth of how you have to live or how you have to fit in. So for some, there is going to be a choice. Is this situation, is this environment, can I really grow, expand, and be all that I'm meant to be? And sometimes it's people holding themselves back. It's not the partner or the job or the environment. Sometimes it's our beliefs about it, our ideas of what we, how we have to be and what we have to do. I find that once we fully live full out who we really are, most people adapt. Most situations adapt. And if they don't, then something else opens up. But usually it's us censoring ourselves. And so we want to not censor ourselves as much as as much as we do. And though we all have to get through challenges, whether it's with ourselves or other people, whether business relationships or personal relationships, there's going to be challenges. There might be times where you say, I don't know if I can do this. However, when you add up all the, you know, what is it, that Ben Franklin list, the T list, you know, you put the pros on one side and the cons on another side. If you're still able to be you and you're growing and you're shifting and it's just a little communication thing, or, you know, maybe you need to be focused more on yourself, or are you looking for that person to take care of you or be your end all and be all? Maybe you need to branch out more. So the shift is going to be shifting codependent relationships, you know, for some people right out the door, because no one relationship, no husband, no wife, no two wives, no two husbands, no wife, husband, no boyfriend, girlfriend, 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 boyfriend, boyfriend, no business partnership can satisfy all aspects of us, especially if you're living from the level of the soul. So one thing I would suggest to couples is you've got to open it up. You've got to have your partner doing their own thing, having their own friends, as well as you, and then come together. Have your own interests and then come together with that, and also have some shared interests. But you are going to see a lot of breakdown and breakup with relationships, because this energy is just so, it's so fantastic, so amazing, so magical, and so challenging that it wants to grow. I don't know how to describe it, but it's like, I said it last show, like having a Dixie cup that's so small and the lightning bolt is coming through. It, you know, or it's raining and you have this little Dixie cup and you're trying to catch the water. The soul wants us to live more from the fulfillment of who we really are, or the many aspects of us. It's quite large. The soul is not about shrinking. All right. We have with us, which I hope I have his right number. I've got a couple numbers. Our guest today is Peter Amato, which I feel it's so apropos. His book is called Soul Silence. And he has quite an amazing story about his awakening and coming into his own unfoldment and way of being, and what I would like to say, answering the inner call to align more and more to the soul and to live more from the template of the soul. Those of you that are listening, if you want to go to his website to tune in, it's innerharmonywellness.com. And let's see where you are, Peter.
Yeah, hey, shorty, you a fool. Trying to steal my
flag. I'm like, bitch, I'm a fucking female.
Okay, that obviously is not okay. Peter, I'm not sure what number I have. Let's see, a 00590 number. Let's see, is this you, Peter?
Peter?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. Now, make sure. I think I hear a radio in the background. Is that true?
No, I have no noise on here.
No computer? Okay, then we just have a delay.
A delay, okay.
Okay, because I can hear myself. You don't have your computer on at all, listening to the show?
No.
Okay. Do you mind? Sorry about this. Okay, calling back right in because we have this delay, so I'm hearing us talk.
Okay, I will try to phone right back.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, good. Okay, I thought maybe, slight delay. You're hearing it in the chat room as well. Okay, and those that want to also follow Peter by going to his website, it's innerharmonywellness.com. Those of you that were waiting for readings, I will be doing this again next week, 12 to 12:45. Call in with your... or you can also email me if there are general questions, which is awakenings@selfandlight.com or info@selfandlight.com. Okay, so we're just going to wait for Peter to call back. I'm not sure what the but so apropos about talking about the soul. And I love, if you read Peter's up on the profile page, his transformation and growth from coming from the work that he was doing before to make the shift to come into what is more in alignment. Okay, Peter, we're just waiting for you to call back in. I thought I just saw you. It's okay, too. Michelle's wonderful. I love his energy. Yes. Okay. All right.
Hello.
Welcome back, Peter. Hello.
Well, thank you. Hi. How is this connection?
Perfect. Oh, great. Perfect. Yeah, we had a delay, so and I didn't know if you had the computer on or not, but you did. So how are you doing today?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you doing today?
Great, great. And I was saying that I'm always kind of amazed plus tickled that always the guests that we have on always tend to dovetail with what we've been talking about, which, of course, is today has been a lot about the age of the soul or what that means, to be living a soul or soul-filled or soul-fulfilled life. And so I thought it was quite apropos that you are on today. Yeah. So, Peter, tell us a bit about your awakening or your path of awakening and also how you came to write the book, Soul Silence.
Sure. Many years ago, I was involved in a family business, hardworking, and built a large business, lots of success, and found myself lost, unhappy, and... going down many wrong roads in my life and more or less hit the wall, wondering what life was all about. And that led me to actually the world of recovery. And and ended up in an inpatient rehab center, drugs and alcohol abuse. And while there I had a spiritual awakening. I found myself to be with 70 or 80 other people who were not similar to me, but they were exactly like me.
Mm.
And that was a powerful experience.
Mm-hmm. And now, was that within the facility?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was. It
and
was,
let me ask you, when you were, because I think this is so important, because especially in the shift that's occurring, which I call there's a succession of awakenings that are taking place, but for many, I call it the redirection of energy. A lot of people suddenly kind of wake up or look around their life and say, this isn't working, or this isn't fulfilling, or what am I really doing here, or is this what I meant to do? Asking those kinds of, questions. So I think, especially for those listeners, what would you suggest to people that are in situations that are starting to have these kinds of thoughts?
Well, I think the more we see what's going on in the world, the more we become, I like to say, aware of our awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes we begin to ask the deeper questions, or at least get afraid, perhaps even become angry. And these are all gifts mm-hmm. toward the ultimate truth and moving toward the self-realization that there's a better way.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you had it, I think you were in the
quiet down the mind.
Quiet the mind. Yeah. Now you were in the auto industry, right? If I
yes,
recall,
motorsports.
Yes.
And high performance.
High performance. Okay. So, when you, how did your, I guess, your questioning begin? How did that sound like, and how did that look like? Was it on a daily basis? Was it kind of a flash? Was it like a little gnawing feeling? How did that happen for you?
You know, for me, I was somewhat stifled in my world. I was involved in a family business. I was the younger brother, so I felt overshadowed for many years as, my older brothers, and actually one generation older than me, were actually the power within the business at the time. So I could not get a word in edgewise, if you know what I mean. So it prompted me to move inside, whether I liked it or not. I know I had a choice. It was fight or flight, but I froze at some level and went inside and said, what's it all about? And was able to spend a lot of time in quiet, in reflection.
Okay. So you were already, it sounds like, contemplative.
I was. I believe I was born gifted with a spirit of contemplation. It's part of the nature of my personality, and I feel I was blessed at some level, but never really knowing how to tap in and interconnect with the deeper universe.
Mm-hmm. And how did you find out how to tap into the deeper universe?
Well, when I was in rehab, a gentleman from the community came to see me from the business world, and this was a 12-step program, and he suggested that I start the 11th step right then and there. And the 11th step in a 12-step program refers to one's relationship to prayer and meditation with regard to establishing a conscious contact with an integral and universal divinity, as I came to know as one of wholeness or oneness.
Okay, I was just going to ask you that. What was the 11th step? We'll get back to that. I have a question in the chat. Peter, did you have to hit bottom to begin to search within for your high? I had to hit bottom to begin my awakening. Just wondering if this is common to most people. Good question.
I certainly did as well. A nudge, a grudge, or a judge. For me, it was
so
a judge.
Was a judge? What is that, judging people, judging yourself?
No, it was a judge in my town that gave me an ultimatum and basically said, go to rehab or you're going to go to jail.
Ah, that's what you meant. Like, outer judge, a real judge. So what did you say, a nudge, a judge, or a...
A grudge.
A grudge gets you to move on to that next level. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay, and so quite could be quite literal. So what do you feel that did everybody that rock, I guess everybody, what is that saying, that everybody's bottom is different or something? But something
I think
does
so.
Have
you know,
to.
So many people struggle in finding their bottom, if you will.
So many people, could you say that again, Peter?
So many of us struggle in finding our bottom. You know, we have a spiritual bottom, a mental, emotional bottom, physical bottom, lots of bottoms.
Oh, I like that. That's a great way to put it, because I've never quite heard it that way. So that's a good. So what would be the signs of hitting your bottom, whatever bottom it is? And you said mental, emotional, could be spiritual, physical, could be relationship,
well, you know,
I suppose.
For me, it was really about being irritable and discontent and not knowing why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And recognizing that there's more to life than what meets the eye and not really being aligned with any sense of life purpose or meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Led to
yeah, I call that
my downfall and my uprising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I call that divine discontent. And it is perhaps that spiritual aspect that is wanting us to have more meaning in our life or more sense of purpose.
Absolutely.
And what do you suggest to people? This is really good because I think the bottom, I think people characterize as, you know, usually the financially, or if it is, you know, an addiction, it's that addiction supposedly, you know, getting out of hand. But I think that's really great what you're saying, 'cause for people to look out to see where, what instances, if I'm hearing you correctly, am I irritable? Am I discontent? What do you suggest if they are feeling that irritability or that discontent?
I think it's a lack of connection. You know, it's truly one's relationship to spirituality that breeds itself in all of us at some form of addiction. You know, most people suffer from addiction, whether it's if only being addicted to our thoughts.
Mm. So how would you term addiction?
Well, if addiction is called the disease, I like to put a hyphen in that word and say, what is it that we are disconnected from and uneasy about?
So disconnection, really about the disconnection. Oh, I like that.
That's right.
So it's really about being disconnected from, what would we be disconnected from?
I would say it would be a disconnection from the source, and the source means different things to different people, but when we talk about that from a framework of spirituality or engaged consciousness, it could be as simple as contentedness and happiness. You know, we were born wanting, so therefore we look on the outside for what's not going on the inside. And many of us have not really been taught that there's a path to move inward and drop down and connect with our original nature, our essence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you say on the book Soul Silence, A Unique Approach to Mastering the 11th Step. Could you talk a bit about that? Because the book is, I guess, part guide, part memoir, a bit about your, you know, your unfolding, your awakening. But really it sounds like more of also a guidebook to help people connect into this soul silence.
Right. So with prayer and meditation being the journey of self-discovery, if you will, both are forms of self-inquiry. Prayer is when we verbalize and surrender in seeking, and prayer can also be the voice of gratitude, but meditation is when we are still and listening for direction or guidance from within as a way of listening. Both are reflections or practices which move us toward an understanding of a deeper spiritual perspective. We suffer from the veil of illusion in moving toward a unified consciousness or a oneness with our own intrinsic divine nature. And this is the spiritual disconnect. Follow what you like, but you know, it's we experience living from the two sides of right and wrong, and we need to step into a world of love and service. But it starts with us one at a time, and as an inside job.
And I'd love it. Can you talk a bit about the love and service? That seems, especially with the shift, that it is moving into more of a face of in space of being in service.
Absolutely. And this has so much to do with meaning and purpose regarding life. Very often we don't have a baseline for a divine love, particularly a sense of holiness or wholeness within intrinsically. So we look externally, and we look oftentimes for love in others and through relationship. And you see very often it comes up short because we place expectation on one another, and we struggle. You know, the numbers don't prove it out. But when we offer service, we truly learn the gift of unconditional love. And when we're tapped into that place within, located in our heart center, we're truly experiencing a more divine calling that gives us somewhat of a reflection of who we truly are and allows us the possibility and potentiality to understand and experience a much more meaningful existence.
And let me, having gone from the high-performance motorsports and being around cars, I mean, that's very material, that's a much different focus. I'm just curious, how does your family respond to your shift and what's unfolded in your life? Do they get it?
It's fascinating. Yeah, it's really fascinating, Michelle. Over time, they finally are getting it. You know, they finally recognize and realize the more and more health and healing becomes prevalent in our society. You know, the shows on addiction now are educating many people. So, you know, it's no longer shoved under the rug. My family has always supported me, you know, but more and more they become inquisitive, and we get into a lot of dialogue about their own lives, their own health and healing, their own shortcomings, you know, and issues. So it's really become very much mainstreamed, even in my own family.
Wow. I was wondering, as you're talking, I'm like, wow, this is really, and again, that's, you know, called light worker or way shower, the way to assist, or sometimes even the best way of being of service is through our own life, our own actions. So what a gift, everything that you've gone through, to then have your family open up to this as well.
Yes. Today my life is my work, and my work is my life, and I've been blessed to actually have my daughter come in and join me with my work in the last year. She's 24 and finding her own way in life, so it's really been a gift for me to have her join me with such a curious nature about it. It's priceless.
Now, what does she do with you?
Well, she works within the business with regard to marketing and event planning, which happened to be her major in school. However, she wanted to get into the fashion world and has a dream to get in a big city, you know, New York or L.A., and that's a dream of hers, and, you know, I tell her to keep going for it, but now is not the time. So I had always tried to keep the door open and see if she's interested in health and healing, and she had always thought it was somewhat woo-woo, you know, what I do. I'm in the field of integrative medicine and complementary and alternative medicine is the root of our practice, and she never really thought of it as much. So it's interesting that the more and more it becomes mainstreamed and as she steps in a little bit more and more, she's getting it. She's actually become a client of some of our staff and is really enjoying being part of the practice as a client and as also a facilitator, educator of the work in the community.
Mm.
Yeah, I love it because I've studied the works of Richard Gerber, for vibrational medicine. So a lot of this stuff 10, 15, even especially 20 years ago was merely alternative. But now you're right, it's integrative. They're integrating it into more of the allopathic and conventional medicine. I do want to give your website again because I think before you talk, innerharmonywellness.com, because there's some wonderful programs there. And Peter, what were you going to say?
I'm saying there's a meaningful coincidence going on here because 6 inches in front of my face is Richard Gerber's book, Open. Because today I'm writing a paper for my doctoral degree on the biofield and vibrational medicine.
I love it. And on the biofield.
His is one of a handful of textbooks I have laid out in front of me. It's amazing. Vibrational medicine
isn't
in the 21st
amazing?
Century, a complete guide to energy healing and spiritual transformation, Richard Gerber, MD.
MD. Is it the one, I think there's a heart on there, right? Is there kind of a blue?
It's, I'm not looks
sure
like healing
I have. Okay, I'm not sure which one I have
healing
of his, but.
On a heart. He only has one, but he continues to reprint it. It's incredible.
Well, then it must be that one then. Yeah, it must be that one. That's very extensive. Oh, it's amazing, amazing book. Yeah, and I did my dissertation as God as an energy. So it's the biofield is being, and resonant field, however you want to term it, being God or the all that is, as opposed to, you know, a being.
Very similar to my own work.
Yes, I love it. That's what I love. You know, the program is of service, but it's also for me. It just tickles me because you get to meet so many people across the globe that are similar field, similar work, and it's like the call has happened, you know, the great awakening that everybody has called. Come on, play. You know, come to the football field or whatever. Come to the dance. Come to the ballroom, whatever analogy. But, you know, everyone is needed in all areas, all sectors. Obviously to share their story, shine their light, you know, provide that that service and that healing care. And I feel too, Peter, I don't know about you, but the story, I feel that the how people awaken, I feel can be so inspiring and encouraging to others, because the first part of the awakening is not usually, it can be, but there's always something that's a challenge, you know, to go through. I know you're writing and I know you have your private practice, but do you also do speaking engagements in regards to your awakening, but also the 11th step, that how to connect into that oneness, if you will?
I do, and more than lectures, I offer a transformational learning program where I embark on teaching teachers how to take this practice that I've put together in the way of offering a series of workshops, level 1, 2, and 3, which is basically 2, 4, and 7 day transformational learning programs that end up where there will be a teacher evaluation certification program. And we're just moving into this direction. There'll be some online components as a part of it, but the idea is to really teach teachers to go out into the world in basically 4 different categories: in recovery, in healthcare, with education, and also in corporate America, to go out and teach the inner harmony approach to soul silence, which is a combination of spirituality along with yoga and meditation, psychology, and some neuroscience as well.
So you sound like metaphysically we call a bridger. So you're bridging some of the, right? That's wonderful because, yeah, a lot of people looking at going on that other side, you know, the grassy patch, the park, but all that stuff in between. And then also, like even you said with your daughter saying woo-woo, a lot of times people see this stuff or hear it. It's the packaging. For some, if it's in a certain packaging, they're like, no, I'm not, I can't do it. I'm not going to go there. They just tune it out or block it. But that's great to bridge so that people have a place to go to get this kind of information and also bridge from the old paradigm or the old way of thinking into the new. Do you get a lot of people that are just awakening and having their own experience and wondering where to go or what to do?
Absolutely. We get people from all walks of life and all places of questioning. Fascinating to see how they show up and what motivates them to end up coming out to see me. You know, some are there still very entrenched in the content of their story.
Mm-hmm.
Others are ready to move on and don't know what that means. So they come with questions. Other people, you know, pretty much know that they want to change and just say, show me the pathways and let me pick one and get started. You know, there's so many doorways to health and healing and a more refined consciousness and way of life. So, you know, just to be a bridge, an example, and an educator in helping people find their own way. And I especially enjoy meeting them where they're at and watch the look in their eyes.
Mm. And what would you say the overall focus of the book Soul Silence is? What is that as far as a tool for somebody spiritually? And before you answer that, I do see callers. If you do have questions, I will get to you if you have a question for our guest, Peter Amato, author of Soul Silence. If you just hold on a bit, I will get to your calls. Okay.
Well,
what would you say the overall emphasis is?
Mm-hmm.
It offers a direct path, basically, toward an inner experience of what we all search for.
Mm-hmm.
The book offers a unique way to actually experience the 12 steps, different than read about them or talk about them, and bring them alive in your life. So it provides for a way to experience that oneness of being that we all search for and, you know, learn to practice a genuine happiness in our life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to move from recovery toward what I like to call self-discovery while deepening the reason to embrace the 12 steps as a path to humility and service.
Mm. And you said, I love that, I'm putting that chat room, from recovery to self-discovery. And do you go to, this would be great, I guess, for a lot of also recovery centers too. Are they open to this bridge, this extension from the recovery to the self-discovery?
Yes, very much so. In fact, I'll be embarking on a book tour coming up here real soon, national book tour with the Soul Silence book that I wrote, and it's being embraced in a big way by many of the rehab centers that are open-minded, progressive, and choose to use adjunctive approaches to the 12-step program in supporting the 12-step programs in helping patient clients move more from a duality to a more unified version that includes consciousness, health, and healing from a deeper perspective.
Mm. Well, I like how that's put. So that is, okay, so it is in essence that soul silence or that path of using those spiritual principles of meditation and yoga is moving more into that unity consciousness. That's what I'm hearing you say, right? It's assisting people to do that.
Absolutely.
Oof, that's so needed. So needed right now. That's the,
sure
that's
now's
the
time.
Yeah, now's the time. But that is the step. That's the next, out of that duality consciousness. Keeps us separate. Okay, we have a caller here. Hello, 810-941, you're on Awakenings. Did you have a question or a comment? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, did you have a question or a comment for our guest, Peter Amato?
Just, I was wondering what you see ahead for my love life.
Oh, okay. Readings next week, 12 to 12:45.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's okay. You can continue to listen. Okay. Okay. All right. So if you have a question or a comment, I do see people on the phone lines. Just press 1 on the keypad if you have a question or a comment in regards to our discussion, either for Peter or myself or just in general about your own awakening or any questions or comments about Soul Silence or Peter's website and programs, innerharmonywellness.com. But press 1 so that I know that you do. Let's see. And Soul Connection is saying, Soul Silence is returning to the neutral point within. From with the neutrality, the soul is at peace and all paths unfold through all dimensions. Whoa, what do you think of that? That's nice.
Well said, well said.
Yeah.
It is an evolved soul.
Yeah, we get quite a bit. I love the fact that you're doing this, the bridge, though, and the tools, because that's one thing that I feel like had been missing. I know my path, you know, grew up as a psychic channel, and so that was, you know, spirituality and metaphysics was, you know, always on my mind, and I sought out teachers and programs early on in life. But I did notice the last perhaps 10 years, and especially the last 5 to 6 years, that there really are not a lot of programs. It's almost like kind of in the old school studying, there were more programs, teachers, mentors, grounded workshops, you know, where they're really giving you those tools, those spiritual tools or bridging tools, however you want to look at it. And Peter, I've not seen as many, and I say grounded because there are programs and workshops, but they don't handle the mental emotional. They don't bridge from the mental emotional into the spiritual and obviously, you know, incorporate the physical as well. Did you yourself see a need for this? Is this one of the reasons for your focus?
Yes, absolutely. As well as just a continuation of my path and my journey. Basically, you know, I say to myself, well, what else would I do? You know, it's just somewhat of an extension of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wouldn't know what else to do at some level. My path has become my journey. Now my journey is my work, so my service is to pass it on and just continue the legacy of what was gifted and came through me as a result of being a pilgrim and seeking a deeper sense of spirituality and stumbling along on the journey for many years and shrinking back and then moving forward and all the trials and tribulations that the path allows for.
Mm-hmm.
And moving through that emotional turbulence and finally resting at one with self.
Mm.
So
passing it part
on
of what
really
I hear,
what's important to me.
Yeah, but that to me speaks to, and perhaps that was the beginning of your journey, but that fulfillment, that living fulfilled, I feel is somehow that circle, you know, where your work is your love is your work, you know, you're all the work purpose, it's all somehow together. Whatever that work is, it's different things for different people. But it sounds like your whole life is supporting your soul path.
It sounds that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love what I do and I do what I love, so it doesn't feel like work for me. It feels like my soul path, and you know, as I'm, you know, just
mm-hmm.
the way it comes to me is the way I put it out. And right now it just
mm-hmm.
feels really good.
Mm-hmm. And that's, was that a plan or did it unfold and you walked through it?
I think the latter feels more right for me. It certainly wasn't a plan.
Okay.
Very often I look back. In fact, I have a yoga school here in St. Martin, and I was telling my students last weekend that I don't know how I got here, how I ended up here. I had no interest and didn't even understand, you know, the world of health and healing and spirituality and consciousness and optimum health. It wasn't, you know, I was a race car guy and a lot of parts salesman, you know. And so when I look back right now, I have no idea how I got here, why I got here, why I made the choices that I made. A lot of it I cannot reconcile with. It just seems like it occurred or it happened. You know, some part of me made the choices and the decisions in a way that I more or less just ended up here. A lot of it doesn't
mm-hmm.
feel extremely conscious to me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel.
No. But yet I certainly know who I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's to me how I say it, that's the true unfolding of the soul, because the ego usually doesn't know. It's like, well, how did I get to, why this? But it's so satisfying. It's so wonderful, you know. And really, Peter, what a great example, too, that you are in living this, that, number one, you followed it and you listened. You listened to that inner prompting. But to go from what you were doing in the past to where you are now, you know, in a sense, to me, could show anybody and everyone that it's not what we do for a living that makes us spiritually connected or connected to our soul or spiritual beings. That it is us. It simply is us. And when I hear your story, it just reminds me that you found perhaps what better suited you, in a sense, or suited your soul's expression. You know?
That's a great way to say it. You know, oftentimes we hear that we are spiritual beings having an occasional human experience, and once you quiet down the mind and you could tap into some other source that motivates the spirit, you know, it's the longing of the soul. So if we honor the calling and take the journey, generally we end up in places that are, as we say in recovery, beyond our wildest dreams. And that's the journey I took. I went to study in the, you know, India, and I searched many places and many traditions looking for an easier, softer way, but they all led me to the same place and said, basically, go home and sit still. Everything you need to know is inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Not what I wanted to hear, by the way.
Mm. Yeah, well, who does? Yeah, but it's all there. You got to, so no one can give it to you. Now, so, Elevate the Soul thing. Well, St. Martin's, ask him where I've been going there for the past 17 Christmases.
You have.
Yeah, somebody in the chat room is asking where. They've been going there for the past 17 Christmases.
Oh.
So that, yeah.
Well, we're right
in
Simpson Bay by the airport. We have a wellness center and a yoga studio and yoga school as well on the Dutch side.
Okay. Now, is that Pennsylvania?
What's
that? Something. Where your center is located?
Well, there's the one is in a Mercy Hospital system in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and here on the island of St. Martin in the Caribbean.
Ah, okay, great. So both. Okay. Well, you can go find out more. We have a couple other questions of location. You can find out more about Peter and his work, as well as his book, Soul Silence, at innerharmonywellness.com. And again, that's innerharmonywellness.com. Thank you, Peter, for being on the program and sharing this insightful journey with us. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'm grateful to have the opportunity, and I think what you're doing is terrific, so keep enjoying it and keep doing it.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you. I do enjoy it. I can tell. Okay. All right. Any other time you want to come back, just let us know when you have anything else going on and you want to share. You have an open invite back. Thank you.
I'd love to be back. Have a great day.
You too. All right. And that was Peter Amato, author of Soul Silence. The website is innerharmonywellness.com. Oh, some wonderful information there. We have a lot of people in the chat also. Thank you, Peter. Yes, and you will be able to listen in the archive those that you that came later or those that will be listening in iTunes, and you'll have all the information as well. Also, we're open at consciousinspiredliving.com, the online magazine that speaks to your soul. We're open to we're rotating some new writers in coming in April. So if you want to submit writing samples or have some ideas for artwork or any kind of contribution, or you perhaps have some workshops or events that are coming up, let us know at submissions@consciousinspiredliving.com. Also, if you want more support and information on the shift and awakening, you can go to Soul Insight for Spirit-Led Living as well. Also, I have an online course coming up that I want to mention to everyone that will be on the shift, Awakening to the Shift, Aligning to the Energies of the New Emerging Consciousness. And it will be an online course. I've been working a year on it. It'll be an online course as well as in-person workshop course series, actually, in the LA area. As always, I love connecting with all of you. You just are all amazing beings. So go out and create a great day. I'm going to end with a little bit of Bliss by Yogini.